Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, how are things looking for you?
Well, we're doing well. The year is moving along. The November elections this year for school boards and the city councils that haven't just granted themselves another year and a half in office, those will be coming up. But the year is playing out very fast.
We have more and more people now I see running for president on the Republican side, some people announcing this week. And so you just got to wait and see what happens, but it should be interesting.
Yeah, there was a great article that came out about those candidates and basically said Mike Pence and Senator Tim Scott know them both well. Then Chris Christie, that they are all going to be in the shadows of the two main contenders because they may be nice guys, but they're not willing to fight the same way that the Democrats fight. They always kind of want to reach out and find things to accommodate the left on. And this writer was saying that the American voters are looking for somebody who will fight the left, not somebody who will get along with the left. And so there's two main contenders there, Donald J. Trump and Ronald DeSantis. And DeSantis is not backing down from his fight with Disney and that whole woke culture in Disney. They were taking advantage of tax laws there in Florida. And when they started the fight with DeSantis, he went right after their tax breaks. And so it's a major league fight going on, but I don't see DeSantis backing down a bit.
You and I talk about on this program the double standard on how the press treats Republicans versus Democrats. And I have a perfect example here since the Durham report came out. You'll remember a while back before the election, Donald Trump was on 60 Minutes with Leslie Stahl. And he said his campaign had been spied on when he ran in 2016. And Leslie Stahl very smugly says, oh, no, that's not true. I want to play that for our listeners to make the point. So let's listen to Leslie Stahl on 60 Minutes.
The biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign.
Well, there's
Leslie.
No real evidence of that.
Of course there is. No. It's all over the place. Leslie,
sir,
they spied on my campaign and they got caught.
Can I say something? You know, this is 60 Minutes, and we can't put on things we can't verify.
You won't put it on because it's bad for Biden.
We can't put on things we can't verify.
Leslie, they spied on my campaign.
Well, we can't verify
that. It's been totally verified.
No.
It's been, just go down and get the papers. They spied on my campaign. They got caught.
No.
And then they went much further than that, and they got caught. And you will see that, Leslie, and you know that, but you just don't want to put it on the air.
No, as a matter of fact, I don't know that.
Okay.
So we heard Leslie Stahl saying that there is no evidence, no evidence, no evidence. And yes, she's vaguely quiet right now. She's not coming in to say, oh, there's the evidence we were hoping for. And now it's been proved. We on 60 Minutes can say things that have been proved true by the Durham report. But they're not going to put that on there because that's not who 60 Minutes really is. They want to give the illusion of fact checking and fairness and honesty. But the truth is they're not interested. But to your point, even Jake Tapper on CNN acknowledges and to his credit says that the FBI is being devastated by this report. So listen to Jake Tapper.
President Trump appeared so confident of what Durham would find, he openly pressured the special counsel to release his findings before the 2020 election. Regardless, the report is now here. It has dropped, and it might not have produced everything of what some Republicans hoped for. It is regardless devastating to the FBI. And to a degree, it does exonerate Donald Trump.
Okay, where's the apology from CBS? Where's the retraction on 60 Minutes?
Yeah, you're not going to find a retraction because they're not interested in the truth. What they are interested in is pushing a narrative that the American people will buy, influencing the elections against Republicans, and therefore continuing the leftward drift of the progressives and the Democrat Party. That's what the press is after. So you're not going to see a retraction. You're not going to see any attempt to actually verify what the truth is. I think there's a philosophical discussion on what does it matter that the media is not interested in truth? What's the outcome? Is it really affecting the average everyday citizen? Well, let's take a look at education. Education in New Mexico, we're bottom of the barrel. We're number 51 out of 50 because the statistics include District of Columbia, which is not a state. And we're the bottom of the barrel. And yet Michelle Lujan Grisham has given a pass. The Democrats who've owned this state for 90 years are given a pass. And so New Mexico kids have bad education because the press really isn't interested in declaring what the truth is. Inflation. If you want to know what's going on in inflation, you're not going to get the truth from the mainstream media. You're going to have to just feel your pocketbook. The mainstream media goes along with Biden saying that inflation is only temporary, it's under control, that there's nothing to it. Meanwhile, they're doing things which are going to drive inflation even higher. This whole debt ceiling vote that's coming up very soon is totally about that. Joe Biden wants to spend all the money there is in the world, and Republicans are saying, no, you've got to control your pocketbook. Most Americans are agreeing with the Republicans. Over 60% are saying, wait, you can't keep spending money. It's causing us to be in great pain. Our pocketbooks are not stretching far enough to cover all the printed money that you're creating. And so inflation is another area where if the press were being very truthful, they would be pointing out what the Biden administration is doing, but they're totally quiet. Crime, the border, the examples go on and on where the truth would help, but the media is not interested in truth now. They're interested in pushing an agenda that is well known. The left agenda that we saw Europe go through in the 1950s, they're trying to accomplish that here. Europe is moving away from those socialist tendencies while we're trying to rush headlong into it. But the American people are not standing quietly. The American people are actually being quite vocal. A couple of weeks ago, we talked on this program about what Budweiser was experiencing because of their use of that male acting as a female, and they let that male be the voice for females. The outcry and the pushback has been so strong that now several banks are really reconsidering the value of the Budweiser stock. They've been faced with billions of dollars in losses, and people are not moving back to the product. It looks like they may have damaged their brand completely. But while Budweiser is experiencing those negative effects, it's amazing how many corporations are moving right in behind them to do the same thing. Target just recently released a line of swimwear where, as one writer put, it's tuck friendly. That means you can tuck it around your business if you're a guy acting as a girl. The swimsuits are designed for women, but it's got this little tuck friendly flap on it so you can hide your business. And so that's Target. They're getting tremendous backlash. Levi's, evidently Jennifer Say, who has been a longtime executive at Levi's, she wrote Levi's Unbuttoned, which began to tell the truth about the culture inside Levi's Corporation, and they evidently got rid of her. She says, the woke mob took my job, but gave me my voice. And so she's now out describing the ideological terrorists who exist in Levi's. Starbucks flew straight into the heart of the storm. They have released an ad in India which caused a worldwide backlash. The ad basically was openly celebrating gender reassignment surgery, and the world population has really given strong backlash against that. Sports Illustrated, they have long showed that they're very large distance away from the conservative men who read the magazine, but they featured a male who had underwent gender reassignment surgery at the age of 16, and so they're there. Adidas, meanwhile, joined the crowd, and this male model that is posing as a female, again, wearing swimwear designed for females, but obviously they had the same tuck-friendly flap in the front that Target is experimenting with. And one writer said it's the way to get creeped out. It just, the best way to do it is you look at the ads and you're simply creeped out looking at what Adidas is saying is the voice for females and female swimwear. So it'll be interesting to see, but almost every one of these corporations are experiencing backlash. They're experiencing people who are boycotting their products. And so just like Budweiser stock is now being revalued downward, I suspect that the American people are going to continue to speak out against this stuff that's so anti-science and so woke that it can't even consider what truth is. And so amazing things happening in the American market right now. But at the end of the day, the buyers will determine where they spend their money, and they'll determine which messages work and which messages don't.
I'm talking with Steve Pearce, the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico. Coming up, we'll discuss whether our governor knows the difference between fully automatic and semi-automatic weapons on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
We are back on Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pearson. Steve, understand our governor went on a rant about automatic weapons.
Yeah, the Pinon Post, John Block, really is good about calling the governor out, but he points out how she went on this unhinged rant on MSNBC talking about that people should not own automatic weapons.
This gunman left this note that we saw in the report. He was ready. He had a bulletproof vest on that he enhanced. But where would he get an AR-15? And how in the world should an AR-15 be in his hands?
Shouldn't. This is my point exactly. Frankly, no one that isn't in the military, this is a weapon of war, or the trained police department. In my view, no one in America who isn't in one of those two situations should own an automatic weapon. There is no reason to own one of those.
Breitbart did a little fact checking and pointed out that the governor was completely wrong, that AR-15s are not automatic weapons. They have a switch on them, which is safe and semi-automatic. Semi-automatic says that you got to pull the trigger for each time that you want a shell to be fired. Automatic weapons, you pull the trigger and it just starts shooting as long as you got the trigger pulled. That's completely different from semi-automatic, and yet she lumps them all together. That's, again, part of the narrative. If they can convince people that automatic weapons are out here on the streets, then people would have more backlash. So it's part of the progressive mentality that simply says we'll tell an untruth when a truth would work just as fine.
Well, you know, it's illegal to have any full automatic weapon in the United States. That's already a law. Semi-autos are legal.
Yeah, so the people on the street can't own them, and yet she's there on MSNBC. And MSNBC, they should have made the same comment that you do. They know that automatic weapons are not allowed, but you wonder where Leslie Stahl is in calling out this fake news that the governor is throwing out there. But somehow the left just doesn't feel the need to call the truth into play when it's Democrats talking on their stations. Again, Breitbart and NRA called out our governor. But she has yet to correct the record, so we'll see if she does. You know, we talked either last week or the week before about an expose that KOAT ran on the governor about CYFD and the fact that it's just a failed bureau of the government. CYFD, Children, Youth, and Families Department, is supposed to take care of the kids and to watch out for them. When you got foster parents, it is the CYFD who places kids who are in trouble with our foster families. And yet they have stood aside and let atrocities occur from foster parents to the kids. They've taken kids away from good foster families and placed them with their parents who then have abused them. On this program, we've talked about that at length. In one case, a Romanian couple who was given back their four kids, left the state immediately while they were still under investigation, and the CYFD never made comment about it. They had to file a complaint with the police before the police could actually do anything. Meanwhile, that couple went down into the South. It looked like they ended up in Georgia. Eventually, their six-month-old daughter was just dropped off at a hospital with a busted skull and with permanent blindness and brain damage. And that is all because CYFD refused to do the job that they were supposed to do and placed the four kids back into the custodial care of a family that had showed that they were abusing the kids. And so a lot of demonstration on the part of CYFD, how it's a failed institution. That KOAT expose was followed up with KOAT interviewing a couple of the state senators and representatives asking how come the reform bills failed. One senator expressed that the governor obviously had opposition to the reforms, and another simply said that the bills never made it out of committee. Now, since the Democrats own the legislature and they own a significant majority in the legislature, there's no reason for those bills to have failed unless they're getting opposition from Democrats. And I suspect that it should be really reviewed who among the Democrats opposed it. And I think you might find answers to what actually happened based on who is friends with whom in the roundhouse. So again, it would be nice if the media were actually calling the governor out and exposing these, and KOAT is doing exactly that. And so I just congratulate him and say, keep at it, because we need those sort of factual reports that are drawing attention to the failures that are either designed or lack of competence. And so again, I congratulate KOAT for doing the job of what journalists are supposed to be doing.
Here's a clip from that KOAT 7 report.
Make sure everybody's doing their job and they're all on board. From the secretary on down, everybody gets double checked.
That idea was one of 30 bills that were proposed in the legislative session that would have directly impacted CYFD. Lawmakers wanted to create an ombudsman. That is a person who independently investigates complaints and tries to resolve them. They would have been assigned to the Attorney General's office. AG Raul Torres supported the idea.
There isn't a lot of public confidence at this point that the kind of institutional change that we need to protect kids can be accomplished without independent oversight.
The bill died, but Torres believes his office can still do something. He would like to form a civil rights division in his office that could pursue legal action against CYFD if it feels the civil rights of a child were violated.
Litigation is sometimes a necessary tool to bring about the kind of systemic institutional change that I think CYFD desperately needs.
29 other bills also died in the roundhouse that would have impacted CYFD. Bills that would have allowed for more transparency when a child dies, increasing reimbursement rates for foster parents, and like we told you earlier, changing the law that prohibits a baby being taken away from a drug-addicted mother when they're born. We asked lawmakers on both sides why the bills failed.
Why didn't they pass?
They just never got through all the committees and to the floors at the appropriate time.
Part of it was they had heard that there was some opposition from the governor. And like I say, once they passed, that is her priority, her prerogative. She gets to veto or she gets to sign it. That's not my job.
Just want to make the point, too, that Mark Ronchetti, who ran for governor, said that if he were to win, he would have started over. He'd have shut CYFD down and started a new department because they were just too far gone.
Yeah, and that's the reason to vote for Republicans, because Republicans will actually do the hard work of governing. If an agency needs to be shut down, then they will shut it down. If the schools are not performing, then Republicans will find a way to help parents and students get choice so that they go to different schools that are not failing. That way, we'd shut down the schools that are failing, the administrators who are failing. We would shut them down for lack of funding if we would let the funding follow the kids. That's what Republicans stand for, choice in schools. And yet Democrats fight that continually, because the Democrats are owned by the unions, and the teachers' unions is one of the most powerful in Santa Fe. They don't want school choice, and so we'll continue to have bad education in New Mexico because the Democrats refuse to really fix education.
I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. In just a moment, we'll discuss the lifting of Title 42 and our southern border on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. It's been a couple of weeks now since Title 42 was lifted, and back to the media again. You watch the news, well, not all the news, but some of the major news media says that illegal crossings are down to 4,000 a day since Title 42 was lifted. Then you go online and you look at the pictures that people are posting, and it looks like a lot more than 4,000 coming across to me.
Yeah, and Democrat mayors across the nation are screaming, shut the border off because they're coming to our city. The New York mayor has said that. Other Democrat mayors, the Democrat mayor of El Paso declared a state of emergency before Title 42 even expired. And so you have what the media is saying, and then you've got the truth in videos and in still pictures on social media. So people are going to have to start digging the truth out for themselves because you can't expect it from the mainstream media.
I understand that New Mexico is producing a lot of the oil for our country.
Yeah, New Mexico is not at the top of oil production, but what we do lead in is an amazing fact that 50%, one half of all the increase that was experienced in 2022 came from New Mexico. One half of the entire increase of oil production across the entire nation came from here. Texas leads New Mexico significantly in total production, but when we can put up 50% of all the gains in production during the last year, you know that that's significant. And yet the governor is wanting to shut down that industry. If she would embrace the industry, then we could find even more possibilities for jobs to come here. We could find refineries that would like to locate here. Right now, those refineries on the Gulf Coast, they're faced with hurricanes. They're faced with large population areas. We could place refineries here that would never have a significant weather event ever. They would never be required to shut down, and they would not threaten large groups of population when you have catastrophic events. We have the pipelines to carry the oil here. Right now, it's carrying the oil to Houston in order to be refined. It could turn around and use those pipelines to convey oil back this direction to be refined. So a lot of arguments that would place New Mexico right in the correct position to experience tremendous growth if the Democrats in power would simply allow that growth to occur. But they are working instead to shut the industry down. Governor Grisham's woke agenda has passed the Green New Deal, which guarantees that they're going to shut down New Mexico oil in very short order.
For our listeners, you can look it up. In New Mexico, it's called the Energy Transition Act.
Yeah, the Energy Transition Act is going to transition us right out of jobs and right into higher cost for fuel nationwide. That's what that bill is going to do. And I think that Democrats know that it's going to do that. I think that's part of their plan to price everybody into poverty. And President Biden is making a big headway in doing that right now. When I go into restaurants across the country, I see very, very few full restaurants. Instead, it looks like people are having to choose how to spend their money. One of the first things to go is eating out. Movies will be a next thing to go, entertainment. And so right now, Americans are having to make very hard choices, and New Mexicans are having to make even harder choices because we typically are in the bottom three or four in disposable income across the entire country. And so shame on the Democrats for putting average, everyday working Americans in the position that they have through inflation and their energy policies, which are doing away with affordable energy and replacing it with energy that is very costly.
I think we really see the difference here between the two sides, where Republicans would say, sure, if you want an electric car, buy one. But why get rid of the existing system that works? And there was a whole article about how our oil production is the cleanest in the world.
My dad was in the oil field. I grew up in Hobbs in the oil field. And I watched my dad's generation. They didn't know better, but they had open pits of oil. They had different things that were environmentally unsound. And it was my generation that cleaned those up. At one point, the highest point in Lee County was where one company was excavating decades of just oil being dumped on the ground. And so our generation, the company cleaned that up. Like I said, they piled that oil-soaked dirt as high as any spot in the county in order to be reclaimed and to have the oil removed out of it. And that was our generation's commitment. So the fact that we're the cleanest oil in the world, you don't have to prove that to me. I watched the transition take place. Plus, I went to Russia in the 90s and saw what was reportedly a 5 million barrel lake of oil just standing out there. I told people at that time, shoot, we in the southeast corner of the state, we'd be carrying that stuff off in 5-gallon cans, taking it home and finding out how to refine it. That 5 million barrels of oil would disappear overnight if it was in Lee County. We know what to do with oil. When you have big state-owned enterprises, they don't take care of rudimentary things like fixing oil leaks. When you've got a company that is working on profit, they either fix the problems or they go broke. But when it's the government, they simply charge more taxes to the people. They leave the problem there. They never solve the problem. And that's the difficulty with socialism or communism, is that they continue to do the same old things without fixing it. The free market, capitalism, fixes stuff or companies go broke. And so the obvious difference between the two systems right now, our education system seems to have lost its bearing on understanding the difference between socialism, government-run businesses, and the free market. So a lot of pain is going to come from that, but that's the debate that we're in. A lot of philosophical debates that have great pain attached to the outcome if the socialists win this argument in the marketplace.
Was it Khrushchev? Was banging his shoe on the table, said, we will bury you. And this is what he was talking about.
Yes. Yeah. He was talking about taking over the country from inside out. And that's exactly what they're trying to do right now. But the American people are seeing it, fighting back against Budweiser, Target, Levi's, Adidas, Starbucks, Sports Illustrated, and all the other woke corporations. Those corporations are going to pay with the stock price. Disney is suffering from the same thing with their woke agenda. And people are expressing discontent with the cost of living, with the price of inflation being attacked on them that they didn't get to vote on. And so I think that the American people are saying enough is enough, and they're going to vote Republican in November 2024.
Thank you, Steve Pierce, chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico. If you would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can do that several ways. One is check out the website at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at newmexicogop. To speak to somebody in person, you may call party headquarters at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill, and we look forward to meeting with you again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.